We've been doing a study on midnight Bible stories, and we're in the 16th chapter of Acts, where we find another midnight Bible story, and we're getting there. We're slowly getting there, but there's a lot of background that we're covering. And in the 16th chapter of Acts, let's go through about verse 6 of the 16th chapter of Acts. We find that Paul, on a second missionary journey, had taken Silas with him. They added Timothy to the collection that was traveling with them. And they, in verse 6, it says, "Now when they had gone through Perga and the region of Galatia," which is where he had visited on his first missionary journey, "and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia at that time." I want to go to Acts 19:10 for a minute. That we find in Acts 19:10 that Paul's in Ephesus. This is on his third missionary journey. "And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." That was at a later time, all they in Asia. But here in Acts 16:6, it wasn't yet time to preach to those in Asia. And they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And you find that some time goes on, and about probably 8-9 months of time goes on, maybe longer. And they, passing by Mysa in verse 8, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia. A man of Macedonia is representative of the people of Macedonia. And this man of Macedonia that Paul saw in this vision, I guess this would be a midnight Bible story in itself right here, and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." We find that they came from Troas in verse 11, and they ended up in Philippi in verse 12, and in verse 13, after spending most of the week there in Philippi, on verse 13, "And on the Sabbath, we," and that "we" includes Luke. Luke was added to the collection traveling with Paul there at Troas in this chapter. "We went out of the city by a riverside," and that's as far as we've gotten so far. And we went and talked about what takes place by a riverside. And we went to Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8, and seen some of the wonderful things that are pictured here. Well, this is, we're going to continue the story on now. And it says, "Where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake to the women which resorted thither." Now, this is one of the places where the church of Philippi was founded, by a riverside. It wasn't a big building there. It was, you know, that's what we like to think in our mind. You know, they went to a church there, but there wasn't one. It was by the riverside. And this is where prayer was wont to be made. The word "wont" here, it references prosuka, which was a place of prayer. It was a place used for worship, a place where there was no synagogue. This is what they did. And it was kind of, if you'd like to think of it, it'd be like an amphitheater kind of a place, probably with some seats, you know, rocks or something, and it would be like an uncovered building. but there seemed to be there a gathering place of prayer and a place of worship on the Sabbath day at Philippi. Now we know that prayer is such an important part in all of our lives, and especially in the life of full overcomers. When we get to studying a little bit about Daniel sometime, if the Lord tarries, you know there's another midnight Bible story in Daniel 6. Your kids can tell you about it, but Daniel in the lion's den, that's a midnight Bible story. What was Daniel famous for many things, but one of the things, he prayed 3 times a day. Do you? I mean, he took time out. Time out, I'm going to pray. And he didn't do it in a closet. I mean, he did it in his house. He had open windows. They could all hear what he had to say. He prayed out loud. Try it. Try it for a week. Praying 3 times a day. Morning, noon, night. Praying out loud. See what happens. I think it'll be good. You know, you want to be an overcomer like Daniel was? There might be a secret there, huh? Well, furthermore, we have the Holy Ghost. And I want you to turn to Romans 8:26. And so prayer is a very important part in the life of all full overcomers. If you aspire to be one, you need to be a prayer warrior. And the Holy Ghost is an important in the life of a believer. And Romans 8:26 tells us why. It says, likewise, the Spirit, in reference to the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Maybe we ought to pray in the Holy Ghost, because he knows. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And I've encouraged some recently that were having trouble not knowing how to pray or what to pray. I said, go read Romans 8:26. That might help. Don't do it yourself. Let the Holy Ghost pray. There you go. And, okay, the Apostle Paul furthermore encourages to pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. I made the mistake one time of telling James that I pray when I was flying. I says, I pray on my way out to the airport. I pray before I get in the airplane. I pray before I take off. I pray before I land. I pray while I'm flying, you know. But we're to pray without ceasing, aren't we? And that didn't just stop when I quit flying. And that didn't just start when I started flying. That's gone on since my mom taught me the importance of this as a youngster. You need help? Yes, we need help. We need help with our daily lives. Well, mom can't always be there. Let's pray. You know how to pray. The Lord can help you. Pray without ceasing, Paul says. Romans 12:12 in part tells us to continuing instant in prayer. Instant in prayer. It's not something you got to think about. Turn to Philippians 4. And Philippians, that's the book that was written to those at Philippi, this church that hasn't yet been founded, but we're reading about its beginnings here in Acts 16. Philippians 4:6 says this, and I know you know this verse. It says, be careful for nothing. That means be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Prayer requests, I get them all the time. And we send them out, and the pastor asks me to do that. Well, people have prayer requests. Now, some of them, they try to tell you how to pray and what to pray for and when to pray, and you know better than that. But let's pray with thanksgiving, letting our requests be made known unto God. Colossians 4:2 pretty much says the same thing with some different words. Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. We're supposed to be thankful when we pray. And that means in everything. Turn to James, the 5th chapter. And this is a portion of scripture that, again, I think most of you are familiar with. But, you know, it doesn't hurt to read these things and have some reinforcements here. James 5, starting verse 16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we. He's talking about Elijah there. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. In verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And then one more quick reference is 1 Peter 3:12. And in 1 Peter 3:12, the first part of that tells us, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are opened unto their prayers. So he hears our prayers. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5:16. Now, back to Acts 16:13. And Luke next writes, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. It's interesting. The phrase set down is found 40 times in Scripture. 40 is the number that has to do with perfect testing. How do those two equate? Well, maybe there's a little bit of patience involved here, right? Sitting down often requires testing patience. In Acts 13:14, Paul and Barnabas, they went into a synagogue in Antioch in Poseidon. And when they got there, it is noted that they sat down. And they waited for the Holy Ghost to open unto them the door of opportunity to once again stand up and speak the words of truth for Jesus. So I think the lesson we need to learn here is that all bridal saints must first learn to sit down. If you'll look at Ruth 3:18 on your own, we're not going to go there now, but you'll find that Ruth could not have become the bride of Boaz, a picture and the type of Christ in that book. But Ruth could not become a bride to Boaz before she learned to sit still. Rebecca, in Genesis 24, she couldn't become a bride to Isaac until she learned how to sit down and patiently ride the camel. And that was not a short journey. I don't think any of us would have really liked to have gone on such a long journey by camel over the deserts. But she had a love in mind that she was going to be the bride to Isaac. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 3, we find these words. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. So it's important to sit down. And there's some things you can do as you sit down. You can listen, and you can learn, and you can hear what the Lord has for you. Why are you here? Same thing. Acts 16:13. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Resorted thither means that there was an assembly of women who came to the riverside on the Sabbath for the purpose of worship in the form of a prayer meeting by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. That's what we find in Acts 16:13. Note that it was the women who at the first had a heart for the Lord there at Philippi. God, as you know, he made the woman to think with her heart. And he made the men to think with their head. And yeah, that's the truth. So it's not a strange thing to first find that women were the first to have a heart for the Lord there at Philippi. And all full overcomers, guys, we need to have a her kind of a heart for the Lord. Think with our heart. We have to have a heart in tune with the Lord, with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what the full overcomer will have. And so we've found this morning that all full overcomers will be well-versed in prayer and in worship also, just like these women of Philippi were. Now, in Acts 16, verses 14 and 15, Luke expounds on the statement he just made there in Acts 16:13, and spake to the women which resorted thither, Acts 16:14, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, this woman Lydia, she heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Now, there's a lot of things here, a lot of things. And it's a very wonderful portion of Scripture, just loaded with good stuff if we can only see it with our dove's eyes. So we're going to look at it that way. And the focus of these two verses is Lydia. You think about in Scripture, wouldn't you like to have a couple verses devoted to you? Well, you're pretty selfish. But I think our focus needs to be on the Lord, not on us. But we have a couple verses devoted to Lydia. And so she has some qualities that all full overcomers must have. And that's why the Holy Ghost highlights her in Scripture. In Lydia, we find some of the same qualities that are found in the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31. First of all, I want you to note that she already was a believer, for she worshiped God. And she was one of the regulars at Philippi who resorted thither. That is, they came down to the river on the Sabbath for the purpose of worshiping God. Made an effort to be there. Secondly, and we'll expound upon this shortly, Lydia is noted to have open ears to hear the truth. For Luke informs the reader that she heard us. The third thing we note is that the Lord opened her heart to receive the truth she was hearing. You can have ears that hear and the heart does not open to receive what's being said. Now I want you to ponder these thoughts found in Acts 16:14, that is, whose heart the Lord opened. Be thankful if the Lord's opened your heart. And that's why you're here. The Lord has opened your heart. Remember our discussion the last 2 or 3 weeks from Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8 had to do with the heart. And interestingly, Scott went over some of the very same thoughts and expounded further upon them in his class the last couple of weeks. The race course runners who go on to have God's best will do so because they are among those whose heart the Lord opened. And be thankful if you too are one whose heart the Lord opened. Go to Luke 24 for a moment. In that chapter, we read the story of Jesus on the day of his resurrection and beyond. And there were two Emmaus disciples, we call them, that Jesus appeared to on the day of his resurrection in Luke 24. And they had a quite lengthy and most wonderful discussion with Jesus that day. But they didn't realize they were having the talk was with Jesus. At evening, during a meal, Jesus then revealed himself unto them and vanished out of their sight. At that point in time, in Luke 24:32, we find this, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Jesus that day had opened unto them the scriptures, expounding the things in scripture concerning himself. Well, they could hardly get enough of it. They wanted him to stay there. Well, Lydia, here in Acts 16:14, she had this same kind of heart whose heart the Lord had opened. And now you think about it and you go, that's pretty cool. I wish I could have been there. You know, could have been one of those two guys. But think about it. Since the event of Luke 24:32, the Lord Jesus Christ has sent us the Holy Ghost, whose job it is to guide us into all truth and to show us the important things of the Lord. And you can study that in John 16:12-15. Additionally, and after that point in time when he sent us the Holy Ghost, Jesus appeared to Saul of Tarsus, who later becomes the Apostle Paul, our Apostle Paul. And on the road to Damascus, Jesus told him that he would make him a minister and a witness of the things the Lord himself would reveal unto him, and that he would further send him forth as an apostle unto the Gentiles, as Acts 26:18 says, to open their eyes, to open our eyes, if you will, and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That's Acts 26:18, to open our eyes. So this all happened as the Lord said it would, and the Apostle Paul remains the apostle sent unto the Gentiles, our apostle. And it is recorded that way in Romans 11:13. He's the apostle unto the Gentiles. So when Paul and his company went down to the riverside in Acts 16:13-14 and found Lydia, there at this point in time had not yet been one word written of Paul's epistles. So how was she going to learn Paul's gospel message? She's going to have to hear it. From who did she hear it from? Paul. Now, do you think she was attentive? We'll get to that. But when you're here, where's your mind? Did it check out when you walked in the door and you're off thinking about what you're going to do tomorrow afternoon, what you did last week, what kind of tough day you've had Wednesday? You know, we need to be focused. It's hard, but the Lord will help us. And so Paul expounded his gospel message by word of mouth at this point in time, and she received it because it was her whose heart the Lord opened to receive this gospel message. Now, today, for us, we have 100 chapters of Paul's gospel message written down, recorded in our scripture, the Word of God, which is left for us to study and to know. When it comes time for the big test, let's say, we'll be graded on how well we learn these 100 chapters, correct? I mean, I'm being a little facetious here, but think about it. So the question we each must answer for ourselves is, has the Lord opened my heart to receive Paul's gospel message like Lydia did? Now, there's a fourth point here, and it's just as important as this point about the Lord had opened her heart. And this is specifically noted here in Acts 16:14, that she attended to the things which were spoken of Paul. She didn't go off with her mind wandering around somewhere and thinking of other things. She was attended to the things which were spoken of Paul. Any full overcomer from this church age will only be a full overcomer because they attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Think about that. go to Romans 2 and Romans 16. We'll start in Romans 2 because I want to read two portions of scripture that I think you're familiar with, but I might be giving you extra credit by saying that, but hopefully you are familiar with that. The two portions of scripture that emphasize the fact that we need to pay attention to the things that were spoken of Paul. Romans 2:16 tells us, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, Paul's gospel, Paul's 100 chapters. So what we see here is that Paul's gospel message is the message that God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ by. Then go to Romans 16 and we'll start in verse 25 and we'll read through 27, which I think is one sentence anyway. Romans 16:25. And Paul writes, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scripture of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. The encouragement here, one of them, is to be established in Paul's gospel. Then in Hebrews 13:9, turn there. So what is Paul's gospel? Answer that question. And do a that's a good homework assignment. Hebrews 13:9, we read this statement. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Well, it is the grace of God that's fully expounded in Paul's gospel. Now, the word attended here in Acts 16:14 means to be attentive or to pay close attention to. The thought here is that Lydia was apprehending, if you will think of it like this, she was drinking in every word spoken by the Apostle Paul, having her whole mind engrossed with what he was saying and teaching. So we find then that Lydia was showing herself to be a woman of faith. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, I'd like to have more faith. Well, here's the secret to it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There you go. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's a fifth point noted in verse 15, that Lydia and her household received and believed Paul's doctrine on water baptism. So he must have talked about it during this time down by the river. Now, we've gone over this before, but after the resurrection of Jesus, water baptism to a Jew was an outward expression of an inward belief that they had accepted Jesus as their own personal Savior, his forgiveness of their sins, that they had died unto the law of Moses and were to be accounted among those who believed in the resurrected Jesus Christ. Brother Copley wrote and noted that a fellow Jew will not believe that a Jew is saved if they are not willing to be baptized in water. Thus, when a Jew is baptized in water, the unbelieving Jews denounced the baptized Jew from Judaism and even from their family. And Sue and I, I've told you before, are familiar with how that happened to a woman we knew, Sister Helen Clark. And she was a Jew that was saved and had attended the Grace and Glory school when Brother Copley was there. I think she was one of the cooks. When she died, her family didn't want to have anything to do with her. And Sue's family, her dad specifically, and Sue were notified, and they ended up making sure that she was properly buried. Am I telling that pretty much correct, Sue? That was a long time ago. So they didn't want anything to do with her because she believed in Jesus. Those that are believers, Jews, the other Jews, they see them, they are referred to as the blotted out, having denounced Judaism and accepted the message of our Savior. To the unbelieving Jew, that's what they're called. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1:22 that the Jews require a sign, and water baptism was a definite sign unto the Jews that one had accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, in our study here in Acts 16, we are not told if Lydia was a Jew or not, but if not, why did she come down by the river to worship on the Sabbath? And so Here's what we find about Lydia in Acts 16, 14, and 15. That she had open ears to hear, that she received with her open heart the things of Paul's doctrine that were spoken by Paul. And these are all qualities that all full overcomers must have. Hope you enjoyed that this morning. And Lord willing, if he tarries, we'll pick up from there.